Worshipful brethren, brethren all, welcome to Freemasonry in 7 minutes or less.
In this episode, Brother Earnshaw will be discussing the ancient landmarks of Freemasonry. Over to you, Brother Earnshaw.
Thank you. In my research of Freemasonry, one thing that was kind of stood out to me was how the landmarks in different Grand Lodges are, first, they are inconsistent, and secondly, they are incomplete. And I will talk about what I mean by that. So the first landmarks, and one of the things that I was a little bit in the constitutions of 1723 and the other, next one of 1738, the Grand Lodge of England did not delineate what the landmarks were. If they'd written a list, these are the 5 landmarks, these are the 10 landmarks, we wouldn't have had this problem. But as they're not written, so over the years, people have guessed. In 1863, George Oliver, he listed 40 landmarks. Robert McCoy, he reduced this to a list of 19 landmarks. And then Roscoe Pound, you may remember, he was dean of Harvard Law School. So you'd have thought he put a little bit of thought into this. He reduced the number to 6. And the 6 he had was a belief in a supreme being, no problem, a belief in the immortality of the soul, a book of sacred law, which is an indispensable part of the furniture of the lodge, the legend of the third degree, the secrets of Freemasonry, in other words, the modes of recognition and the symbolic ritual of the lodge, and number 6, that a Mason must be a man, freeborn, and of lawful age. Well, I have no problem with that at all. But then he introduced another one a bit later about this belief in the supreme being, and he changed it and he made it a little bit new age. But anyway, then in 1956, the Commission on Information for Recognition of the Conference of Grand Master Masons in North America upheld just 3 ancient landmarks. And you'll see these are different. First, there was monotheism, an unalterable and continuing belief in God. Second was the volume of the sacred law, an essential part of the furniture of the lodge. And the third one they brought in, the prohibition of the discussion of religion and politics within the lodge. Well, that's 1956, not quite sure why that last one was there, but anyway, but is it a landmark? Anyway, so then so I went back to the source and I looked at the United Grand Lodge of England's 2018 constitutions, and they don't list up the landmarks either. I would have thought that was the first thing on page 4, the constitution. These are our landmarks. No, they're right in the back. They've set out some what they call certain fundamental principles of the order to avoid disintegration of the order. Well, these may be landmarks, but it doesn't say they are. So again, there are 4. There are some others, but these are the ones that I would call traditional landmarks. A belief in the supreme being. This is essential and admits of no compromise. Okay. Second, the Bible, referred to by Freemasons as the volume of the sacred law, should always be open in lodges. Okay. Number 3, everyone who enters Freemasonry is at the outset strictly forbidden to countenance any act which may have a tendency to subvert the peace and good order of society. Well, I think that this is 2018. And so I think people were distrusting Freemasons, and so they added this here to that they are forbidden to subvert the peace and good order of society. I mean, it just goes without saying, but anyway. Mm. And the fourth one is, while English Freemasonry thus inculcates in each of its members the duties of loyalty and citizenship, it reserves to the individual the right to hold his own opinion with regard to public affairs. But he can't discuss it in lodge, etc. So the thing that irks me, and I talked about it in my book, Quest for Immortality, that there is no mention of a belief in immortality.
Mm.
So you would have thought that the principles of the Grand Lodge recognition, as Freemasonry originated in England, that these landmarks would be defined once and for all, calling them landmarks and including a belief in immortality. If you look at the original, if we go back to the original Roscoe Pound, the second landmark was a belief in the immortality of the soul. And this was really important in the old days in Freemasonry. This is what the third degree is all about. And the third degree mentions immortality something like 12 times. So, you know, just make sure you get the message. I'm a member of a lodge under the Grand Lodge of Massachusetts, and one of their landmarks is a belief in immortality, the ultimate lesson of Masonic philosophy. And I think that expresses it very well. So I would like Grand Lodges to reconsider the landmarks to make sure that they're prominent, that these are what Freemasonry is built on. This is our fundamental beliefs. You know? And I would like them to add two landmarks. One, of course, is the belief in immortality, and this is essential. The second one I'd like to add, and I think this is really important in what goes a lot of issues in lodges, but I believe every Mason has the right to appeal to the Grand Master if they believe a decision by their lodge to be unfair. Because sometimes lodges make a decision and that's it. I've seen many people expelled from Freemasonry just on a whim,
right,
on an argument or something. And the guys have got no recall, you know. And I think, you know, you can't have people. Sometimes when people become masters of the lodge, and I've seen it, and I've been a Mason for 40 years, and I've seen a lot of really bad masters, and they suddenly change, and they think they're God, and they start issuing edicts, and they fire people and they hire people. You know, it's just horrible. Anyway, you know, my feeling is that we pay a head tax to our respective Grand Lodges, and I would hope that they come together to some mutual understanding so that Masonry is united by the same landmarks in every Grand Lodge in the world. So we're not divided, and we don't have separate aims. This is what the Catholics say about the Protestants. You know, they say that the Catholics argue that the disunity of Protestant churches shows that they are not part of the one true church. They've got a valid argument. You know, there are over 500 Protestant faiths, but Catholicism is only the one. You know, if Protestants, you've got everything from Unitarians to Presbyterians and, just a whole load. So, you know, so perhaps people think the same about the Freemasons. Mm. We're divided. We have separate aims because we don't have one set of guiding principles, the landmarks. They should always be all the same. So I would hope that all the Grand Lodges get together, have a talk, and sort it out. End of my rant. Today's rant.
So. Yeah, that has actually astonished me. I thought we did have a conducive ironclad set of landmarks. I thought that's what we had, but obviously not.
Well, if you look in the constitutions of 2018, it's not there.
Oh, very interesting. Well, yeah. Well, this is only going to cause problems in the future. So I think just before things start, if Freemasonry is going to get back to the zenith of the numbers it had in the 50s and the 60s, then there's going to have to be more cohesion, especially with things going online as well. It needs to be dialed. It needs to be very strict.
Yes.
Yes. That's food for thought.
So I know it's just interesting that Massachusetts, you know, claims a long history going back a long way, and their landmark includes a belief in immortality.
Yes.
And they call it the ultimate lesson of Masonic philosophy. Mm. I don't think many Freemasons really understand that.
No. That's the point.
That's why I wrote a whole book about the third degree, because it's what we're learning to not only understand immortality, but how to experience it in our lifetime without dying.
That is quite a statement to end on, Chris. You've given the game away.
Oh,
you've given the game away.
Well, I think every Master Mason should know at least that.
That's where it's going.
In the degrees, it's mentioned a dozen times.
There you go.
Well, anyway.
But on that absolute on that cosmic philosophical bombshell, I think we'll call it a day.
Yeah, so better get me.
If you have any questions, please email on the link below. And if you want if you want any information on the techniques, please buy the last book.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally all written and laid out for you to do yourself.
That's not the 33 lectures last book, but the Royal Arch.
Oh, yes, Royal Arch. I do apologize. Yep. I do apologize. So, yes.
Another plug.
Get reading, guys.
Oh, and by the way, if you like listening to podcasts, the Initiation by Light is now available as an audio booklet.
Yes, good.
Yes. You'll find it on all over the place, Twitter. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for that.
Great.
So we now part on the square, and we will meet soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.